brother said, "Give me my portion." A man had two sons, and the younger son said, "Give me the portion of the goods that falleth unto me." Now, my commentaries had a hard time with this. My commentary says this kid had an attitude. Give me. Who's he think he is? Give me. You see, but I have a problem with the commentaries. Because I see a kid here that knew who he was in the kingdom. He was a son. He wasn't a servant. He was somebody who received, who had something coming to him because he was a son. The Bible never tells us to beg God for anything. It says, you know what? In Hebrews 4:11, it says that we come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. We don't go begging to the throne of grace. We become bold. When you become a son, come on. When Jesus, when he said, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily." And we have an attitude that we've got to beg God. No. We decree, we speak. We're sons, we're king's kids. And I see a kid here who knew who he was in the kingdom. He had come in. He knew that he had his portion coming to him. Have you ever noticed that oftentimes new believers or young believers, the younger, always seem to get their prayers answered? Well, I remember when I first came into the kingdom of God, it seemed like everything I prayed happened. Now, there's a couple of reasons I want to share with you real quickly why this happens. First of all, young believers think they're supposed to pray. They come in and they say, "Well, I need to start praying." And they start praying. Older believers, we go weeks without praying. Come on now, let's be true. We'll go days and weeks without praying, without talking to the Lord. And they pray on a consistent basis and their prayers are answered. And then another thing is, you know, once you're in this thing a while, you start learning King James. And you start praying these and thous, and "Thou most holiest Lord of all, would you arise from the depths of the universe and bless this thy lowly son?" And we want to impress God with our much speaking. And we want to tell him what we've done so that he'll bless us. Well, you see, the younger believer doesn't have all that. They just pray. And they think that's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to pray and God's supposed to do what you asked. Give me my portion. Listen, folks, we need to come to a place, whether you've been here 5 days, first time, or for 16 years, you need to come to the place where you expect, because you're a son, you're a child of God, you hit your portion. Aren't you glad you have your portion?
Yes.
And you know what he says there? I don't know if anybody's ever showed you this before, but the Father gave them their portions. He just didn't give it to the younger son. He gave it to both the sons. The difference was the older son really didn't know he had it. Later on in the chapter, he says, "Man, I've done all this. I've served you all these years. I've never broken one of the commandments that you've told me to do, and you haven't even given me a kid." He says, "What are you talking about? It's all yours. Everything I got's yours. You could have had the fatted calf. You could have had a kid. You could have had anything." He gave them their portions. I want you to know you got your portion. The question is, what do we do with it? Do we use it for the benefit of the kingdom of God, or do we go out and squander it on righteous living, or do we just sit here? Give me my portion. So, it was divided among them. And then one day, the Bible says, after a few days after that, the younger son decided he's leaving. Now, this is one of the most amazing things to a pastor. This absolutely blows your mind. He's in, he's blessed, he understands who he is in the kingdom of God. You watch their lives change, you watch their families change, you watch their children come out of rebellion and come into a more disciplined life. You observe their health, you see that everything's getting better, they're on the upswing, and all of a sudden, I'm leaving. You know, this is the truth. I have had people come up to me and say, Pastor, you know what? I have learned more under your ministry in 2 years than I learned all my life. And you know, our family is so blessed. Our finances are better. Our marriage is better. And I've heard them tell Judy, thank you so much for ministering to my kids. You have changed their lives. But it's time for us to go. Why? Oh, well, just fill it with the Lord. I've had them to call me on the telephone. We're leaving. Why? And they give you reasons, but there's no real reason. Give me the next one. Is it up there? Okay. There you are. You're a good girl. They never give a real reason for leaving. They give you a lot of reasons. And so they want to go on their journey. Now, the reason they're leaving is not, usually it's me, you know. That's the reason they say. I hurt their feelings. And one individual that counted back about 8 years and started telling me the things that I had done. And I'm saying, why didn't you leave then? Well, I was able to handle it then. Well, can you forgive me? Well, yeah, I've forgiven you, but I'm leaving. And you don't understand this as a pastor. And the father doesn't understand this. But you know what? The father can't stop them. Let's bring it to a family situation. Parents, there's going to be a time when your children are going to test you on in an area of rebellion. You know basically what you can do about that? Nothing. You can't stop them. Mama can't stop them. Daddy can't stop them. You'll call me. Will you talk to my kid? I will, but I can't stop them because God can't stop them. And if he can, he won't, because they're going on their journey. They've got their own journey. That's really why they're leaving. Because they want to go and spend what they should be given in the kingdom and squander it in the world. And I'm not just talking about tithes. I'm talking about talents. I'm talking about their time, their efforts. He's going to spend his money. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But there's a couple of things that happen. There's a couple of things, 3 points that I want to bring out while this journey's taking place. I want to talk about 3 particular points. First of all, the son wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, as we read down through here, the elder brother accused the younger brother, the prodigal, on squandering everything that he had gotten from the father on harlots. Now, that might be riotous living to some people, booze and women, and to some it might be booze and men and you know, drugs, and that might be riotous living to some. That wouldn't be riotous living to me. What riotous living to me would be to go down to the Gulf, buy me a big house, buy me a big boat, a big Dooley 350 Ford to pull that big boat around, load it up with electronics, you know, just squander my time. My money, my efforts. That would be riotous living to me. To some others, it might be houses, or to others, it might be cars, or to others, it might be clothing. But there's something that will get what the kingdom should get. That is riotous living. That is spending what should be coming in the world. And you know what? The Father let you do it. So the first thing that we learned, the son wasted his substance. Riotous living. The second thing that we see is he joined himself to a citizen of that country. It's the birds of a feather flock together. It amazes me how this happens. But people that leave somehow always end up at the same place. It fascinates me. And they've got this common thing in their life. Me. and they join up with citizens of that country. Citizens with the same mindsets, people with the same problems, people with the same situations. You know how it is when your kids start hanging out with people that you really don't want them to hang out with? You know what I'm talking about? You warn them, please don't hang out with this kid, and they hang out with that kid. And you know how you feel when you heard, just heard, didn't say, you just heard they were hanging with that kid?
You know how you feel? That's how I feel. Because I know no good thing can come sometimes in those situations. And nothing's good going to come to the prodigal when he links up with citizens of that country. But they're going to hook up with the people that think like they think, act like they act, and do what they do. And then the third thing that we saw is the son did not, listen, he did not come to himself until a mighty famine, not just a famine, but until a mighty famine came. Listen, you can pray, you'll have me call them, we'll keep up with their lives, we'll know what's going on in their lives, you know, because we really care and we love, and word gets back to us, or you or me or somebody, about what's happening. And I don't care what's going on in their life. You know what they always tell you? How you do it? You ask them how they do it. You know what they always say? I'm blessed, man. I mean, people can be dying. I'm blessed. You know, their kids can be in jail. You know what? I'm so blessed. They can go through bankruptcy. You know what they say? You know, I am blessed. Why? Because there's so much pride. They're not going to even come to themselves. They're not even going to reason with themselves until a mighty famine hits. When things are going well, they're surely not going to think. When things get bad, they'll think they'll be able to fix it. But it's not until the mighty famine comes that we begin, all of us are like this, that we really start evaluating things. We start reasoning with ourselves. We come to ourselves, and that's what it really means. He talked to himself. He asked a question. Is it not better for the servants in my father's house? Man, they had enough and spare. He asked himself questions. I talked to myself. I was fishing one day down at Lake Wise. And I fish a lot of days down at Lake Wise, but this particular one day that I was fishing at Lake Wise, I was in my boat, and I guess I'm talking to myself. I don't even realize I'm doing it. And I had my rods out, and I'm catching fish, and I'm talking to myself. And a boat rides by, and he looks at me, and he says, "Who's in that boat with you?" I had a lot of answers I could have given, but my main answer was, I guess I'm talking to myself, but I am catching fish. Where are yours? I was reasoning it out. I was reasoning how to catch these fish. And he came to himself. He reasoned with himself. He asked the question, wouldn't it be better? And then he came up with the right answer. I'm going home. Now notice, please, it was not until the mighty famine hit. You can pray for them. You can give them what they need. They'll get in these messes, and you can keep getting them out of those messes. But it's not until the mighty famine hits. You know what we really need to pray? And it sounds mean. But rather than praying, we ought to pray, Lord, speed up the mighty famine. Get it there as quickly as you can so that they'll get back as quickly as they can. Until a mighty famine hits, he never even considers going back to where he needs to be. Never. When the mighty famine comes, he starts reasoning with himself, and he goes home. So those are three primary things that will happen when an individual leaves. I don't care, and again, you know, they'll tell you they're blessed. They're not blessed. Not if they're not where God wants them to be. Now, if they get where God wants them to be, they will be blessed. So don't mishear what I'm trying to say to you. But I know of situations, and you know of situations, that have left, and they'll tell you today they're blessed, and they're going through mighty famines. It's not until they get enough of the mighty famine, enough husk of the pigs, enough citizens of that world, that they'll finally come home. He comes home. And the father, the Bible says, saw him a long ways off. While he was still a great distance off, the father saw him. Now, here's where I want to really touch us. And the father had compassion on him. This is so key. The father didn't have compassion on him while he was off squandering on riotous living. A lot of us fool ourselves and think that we can get in messes and God will have compassion on us. No, God doesn't have compassion on him until he comes home. We think he should have compassion on him while he's going through the mighty famine. No, he didn't have compassion on him until he came home. But when he saw him, he had compassion on him, the Bible says. And then the father ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. I have two children. I have two wonderful children. And I love my children. I love them as much, I think, as a parent can love their children. But it wasn't until I had a grandchild and grandchildren that I was able to really understand how God loves us. I've always heard people try to explain how different that was and never been able to. And not, at least no way I could ever understand it. But now I've got Jack and Max. And Max is still just a few weeks old. And so what I'm about to share with you really, I mean, I love him and he's a special, special kid. But this relates to Jack. I'm going to be granddaddy. But to a 20-month-old Jack, I'm Da. And I'll come to see Jack, or Jack will come to see me, and we'll see each other from a distance. And our eyes get big, and a smile comes on both of our faces. And he runs to me, and I run to him. And I grab him up, and I pick him up, and I squeeze him, and I want to squeeze him into me. And I kiss him. And he's hugging me, and I'm hugging him. And it's something you can't explain. But what I want to relate to you is that's how God, the Father, feels for one that comes to repentance. And one that comes home.